So we'll go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. So God, thank you for this day, and thank you just for this trip, and that I could be here instead of somewhere else in my life. And thank you just for what you've laid on my heart, Alex, Drake, and AJ's heart. Just come up here and give these people that want it, that need it. And Lord, I pray that you get me out of the way and help me give them exactly what it is you want them to have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I kind of, just to break the ice, you know, I'll tell you guys kind of a little story that happened just recently. So I had this TV, and the volume was stuck all the way up. So I couldn't do anything with it, and I decided I would go ahead and sell it. And I put it on Craigslist, and the next day, this guy comes out and looks at it, and he's like, so what's wrong with this thing? You know, the TV's on and everything. I'm like, well, obviously the volume's stuck at the top. It's like, so you can't change it? I said, no. And he said, so how much do you want for this thing? I said, well, you know, just get out of my hair. I'll take $10 for it. And he said, really? I said, yeah. He said, so all that's wrong is the volume's stuck? Said, yeah, that's right. The volume stuck all the way at the top. And he said, can't turn that down. All right, so. we're gonna move on. When you hear them laugh, you'll understand that they just got wrong. They can't turn the volume down. So some of you guys don't know me, some of you guys know me, which is also a bad thing. But I just want to give you guys kind of a quick testimony of how I got to where I'm at tonight. So I was raised, probably as most of you were raised, or as not at all. Some of you were raised. I was raised in a church family. So you know, we went to church Sundays, Wednesdays. You know, Wednesdays was Awana. But anyways, you know, I kind of grew up in that situation all my life. But then, you know, as I got older and started caring less and less about church, about God, you know, because I'd never really kind of been based in anything. I got away from church. And you know, like I said, just because I didn't care anymore. And this kind of started as I was working in a prison, in a maximum security prison. And you know, I got hooked up with these guys that they just, you know, they kind of showed me a side of life I'd never explored. But, you know, later in life, as some of you guys know, I really enjoy riding motorcycles, but when I was still living in Wichita, that's what I would do, is I would be on my motorcycle just, if I wasn't at home eating, sleeping, or working, then I was on my motorcycle just doing whatever. So actually, on my way to work on my motorcycle, I hit a deer going 65 miles an hour, and it laid me in bed for probably a good month, and during that time, I started listening to Bob and kind of just getting some things figured out in my life. And I kind of come to figure out, you know, that's ultimately what moved me up here, is I went to school for welding, started welding up here, you know, obviously, yeah, welding up here, I moved up here. And, you know, I later saw that was God's second chance for me. You know, God gave me a second chance. And moving up here, I got assurance of my salvation. But here I am, you know, doing what was done for me. You know, people went down to Wichita to minister to us every, there was two Sundays out of the month. But here I am doing what was done for me because God gave me a second or third or fourth or fifth, you know, however many chances it was. I keep shaking. I've got a lot of adrenaline in me. Whenever I do these things, I get real nervous and I start shaking. But that's all that is. So believe it or not, you know, I'm a huge John Wayne fan, and I watch pretty much all his good, yeah, we just have talked about this, I watch all of his good movies, a couple times a year, really, actually, honestly, but Monday night, I was watching Cahill U.S. Marshal, and a particular scene stuck out to me. And this Indian chief that John Wayne was good friends with in the movie, he'd just been shot, and he was laying on the ground dying. But John Wayne went up to him, and he was talking to the guy. He said, "Well, you're in pretty bad shape." So, yeah, let me have one of those fancy cigars before I go in the cigar. And that's how they said cigars. He said, John Wayne said, I'm not so sure that'd do you much good right now, Chief. And the Indian chief said, "Yeah, but it won't do me any bad right now either." And I got to think about that, and I started thinking, I get kind of the same self-destructive attitude when I've done something wrong and I don't want to get back in fellowship with God. Even after someone in life approaches me about this sin, I still play the pride card and act like everything's okay. So that kind of, that kind of nailed me. A John Wayne movie. Out of all things, so I hate John Wayne now. I just want to talk to you guys about getting back into fellowship with God and why that's such a vital thing to do. You hear people say, like, "Oh, you need to get back in fellowship. You need to get back in fellowship." You're like, "Why?" And that's what we're here for. So, fellowship defined in the dictionary is communion, intimate familiarity. But we don't just want to get the earthly definition of fellowship. 1 John 1:3, and I've got all these typed out. I'll just give you guys can write down the references, whatever. 1 John 1:3 defines it perfectly for us. And it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son." Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So basically, fellowship with God is being of the same accord, essentially having the same mind, like it says Philippians 2:5. Which I can't think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thank you. So fellowship with God is essentially being of the same accord, essentially the same mind. We also know that fellowship with God consists of us getting into the Bible and having a prayer life as well. But why is it such a big deal to stay in fellowship? What exactly are we missing out on when we get out of fellowship? Now, obviously, what would come to your mind is fellowship. Obviously, when you get out of fellowship, you lose fellowship. But fellowship consists of something. It's a relationship. So I just want to tell you, two huge things happen when you get out of fellowship and you decide to wait to get back in. So when I get out of fellowship, doing something I know I shouldn't do, I get the same attitude as that Indian chief. Basically, well, I shouldn't, but I may as well, I guess. So the first thing that happens after I get that attitude is to convince myself that I don't deserve to get into the Bible. And you might ask, say, "But Josh, why is that such a bad thing? But, or how in the world, did we know we're sinning anyways? Even more so, why do we deserve to read the Bible?" You get that thing. You say, "Well, I don't deserve." Why do you think you deserve to read the Bible anyways? Without a standard to live our Christian life, how are we going to be better in the first place? And that's the key. We need a standard to keep us accountable to how Jesus lived His life. Yeah. I was talking to a guy named Herb Kuntz. He's preached at our church a couple times. And he said something to me that I never forgot. And it was perfect for him to say at that time because it was right where I was at with the Bible. And I call it the bucket analogy. But basically he said, "So Josh, have you been getting in the Bible lately?" They said, "No, I really haven't." And he said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I just haven't." And he said, "Well, I kind of look at getting in the Bible as one of two things." And he said this. He gave me the bucket analogy. He said, "Say you got a 5-gallon bucket sitting right there." I said, "All right." And he said, "That 5-gallon bucket's got mud caked on the outside, all around that thing, on the inside." And he said, "Say you fill that thing up with water. You dump it out. It's a little cleaner, right?" I said, "Yeah, it should be." So he said, "You keep doing that. You keep dumping it out. Keep repeating this process. Eventually that bucket's going to be clean, right?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Reading the Bible is kind of the same thing." He said, "You might not get something out of it every time, but it's a washing process. You might not get something out of it every time, but God's cleansing you, So the second point of this is after that, after the first first point, your prayer life takes a fat nosedive into the ground. And you might ask the same thing about prayer. Why is it such a big deal to stop praying? The Bible is how God talks to us, but prayer is how we talk to God. We stop confessing sin. We stop asking God to give us his viewpoint on things. And we stop praying for each other. And the reference for that is 1 Samuel 12:23. When I get this attitude, both of those combine, and I start wallowing in it, I lose the two weapons that God gave me to keep me in fellowship. So just those two seemingly tiny details, just with those two details, our Christian life can spiral out of control and go haywire. And I ask me how I know about this. Someone told me. So I'm very thankful to serve a God that has way more grace than I have, and I definitely have killed me by now if I was God. I would have. Yeah, I'm an idiot. The great thing about getting into fellowship with God is that it's just as simple as getting into fellowship as it is getting out of fellowship. I'm sorry, I stumbled over that. So the first point is in two parts. It's Jeremiah 18:11 and 1 John 1:9. And this is confessing and repenting. So 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's black and white, you know, if we don't, then he won't. Jeremiah 18:11, it says, now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. So number one in that, in Jeremiah 18:11, it says, return from your evil way. And two, it says, to make your way and your doings good. So out of that, you can say, well, you can't just go to doing good things if you still have sin in your life. You have to give up the sin in your life, which is repentance. A godly sorrow is repentance, which is turning from the sin to go a different direction. Just like Romans 1:1 says, you know, it says, Paul separated unto the gospel. You know, he separated from sin, but he separated to something. He didn't just separate from sin and leave a void in his life. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 says, now rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly, here it is, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. You know, it doesn't matter if you're sorry about the things in the world. You know, you're still going to die. It's like nothing's happened. But, you know, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Something's going to change. You first have to turn, and only then can you take care of this next part. You have to make your way, and your doings good. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And, of course, us being Christians, we're to be more and more like Christ every day of our lives. Now, we can say that we've changed our way, but our actions speak louder than words. If you're saying one thing and doing the opposite, then something obviously isn't right somewhere. But Bob, our pastor, he's said something really cool lately, and it's change without commitment to change isn't change at all. The second part of this, I'm sorry, is Psalms 94:18. It says, when I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Now when you turn, the next step is to make your way and your doings good. But that can't come with us relying on ourselves. That's obviously what got us into this mess in the first place. You tried it your way and your foot slipped. So we have to rely on God. God will step in and help you when you realize you need his help. The hardest thing before and after you're saved is to humble yourself to God's will and rely on him. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when we're at our weakest point in life, when issues keep getting thrown at us, when people hate us for no reason, that verse says that we need to glory in those. But why? So the power of Christ may rest upon us, just like that says right there, for Christ's sake. You know, like I said, it's just as easy to get back into fellowship as it is to get out of. You know, people like to make things complicated, but it's really just that simple. It's just making the choice to do it and actually being faithful to do it. If we do our part, then God, you know, like it says, He's faithful and just. He's always faithful to do His part. But a quote that Alex brought up last night, actually, and I'm really mad that he stole it for his own. It says, there are only two mistakes someone can make on the road to truth. Not going all the way and not even starting. But I came up with this really cool little gem. It's the same deal, yeah, I know, with getting back into fellowship. If you don't start, then how can you go all the way? And if you do start, what's the point if you don't go all the way? That's all I got for you guys.